Road.
Would you like to come and stall it?
Ah, will you just stall it, look?
I'd like to come and stall it.
I'm not really in the mood.
Well, come on and bleed and stall it.
Yeah, house hatcher.
I'm not a house hatcher.
We'll stall it for a crack. We're gonna have a laugh.
How are you doing, everybody? Welcome to another... Are you all right, Kermit?
Yeah, we have a guest in, Kermit the Frog. Hey, yeah. Stop, job. Just stop it.
Okay, Kermit the Frog.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, I like that one.
That was the first time ever doing that.
That's a new avenue for you. Mm-hmm. Children's entertainment.
Yeah.
Can you do Mickey Mouse?
No.
You're about to try
I think
it.
You could do it.
Ha ha! I don't know. Why are kids entertainers are so fucking creepy, man? That's so creepy.
What, because he said it's me, because he says it's me, Mickey. Imagine you talk like that. How are you, lads? It's me, Mickey.
Go on, start off the podcast. You were introducing before I.
How are you doing? Episode 163 of the Staller Podcast. Big numbers.
Massive. How are you doing?
Grand, yeah.
Are you good?
All right.
You're looking very... Can I say devil may care?
Don't know what that means.
Yeah, you didn't really try with your hair today, and your energy, your vibe is very devil may care.
Took a while to actually do me here.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That's up out of bed. Fuck this shit. I'm just leaving the house. I'm not bothering today here.
That's styled. Little flick.
Is that conscious?
Yeah.
You're not going backwards with it anymore. You're going forwards.
Going forwards, yeah.
Mixing it up.
Have to. What are we talking about on this? Skeletons and all.
Skeletons, yeah. We're the
you
skeleton.
Know that skeleton you see in your classrooms.
School.
Science labs and...
Yeah. Well, that's based off an Irish fella.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you who that Irish fella is. It's pretty dark. It's bleak.
It's grim.
It's a, but it's a good story. It's an interesting
disgusting
story.
Actually, to be honest with you. It's well worth a listen though.
Oh, you got a dog, man. We talk about that.
Yeah, I'm getting another
and you're dog, getting a little dog. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Ooh,
that's a bit of a quinky dinky, isn't it?
Exciting times ahead. And I just back off me holly bops.
Yeah, you are indeed. And you went there and you enjoyed yourself. Well, you didn't. But
I didn't.
You never really do in any...
Mm-hmm. Parrot show.
A parrot show.
And Owen's back, ladies and gentlemen. Only went away
say hello.
Bonus episodes.
Hello.
It's going to be good.
Very warm in here.
Very warm.
Like sticky.
It's got...
Humid. All the warms. In one warm.
Now you are moaning. I like it. Do you have a little story for us?
Orin O'Halloran from We the Irish podcast.
Yep.
Who works with us at Go Loud and kind of on and off basis has sent us another story. He sent us... Remember the one about the Irish lad in America who landed the plane outside the pub?
I loved it. Yeah.
And then the one about the two lads who just kept trying to kill the Irish fella by poisoning them to get the insurance money. The
incompetent killers.
Yeah. Oren sent us those two and he sent us another one.
If it's not the go boy, it'll be good. If the last two are the go boy.
It's about as grim as that last one. Start you off with this one. Would you
rather have fee for hands or hands for fee? Leave it for the bonus.
Would you be open to the idea of leaving your body to science when you die?
Depends what they're doing with it.
Taking it apart to learn how the human body works.
Yeah, wouldn't mind it. Better than sitting in Glasnevin Cemetery rotting away.
None of it is a good option. No is the answer for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like the idea of a mortuary. So nevertheless, a bunch of fucking scientists.
Do you know what?
Digging
there's
around
a good
in there.
Chance you might come back to life.
Imagine.
A bit of that to come in this story.
People come back to life? Ah, stop.
Arden, you did it again.
Stop.
Do your bones decompose or are they always just bones forever and ever and ever?
Yeah, it turns into dust, yeah.
How come they find fucking dinosaur fossils and it's not dust?
Because they're preserved. Just what, like they would have maybe fallen into, say, like a bog or, I don't know, some kind of soil that preserves them.
So if your body was put when you die and you got buried in the bog... Would your skeleton be there forever?
Your skin would be there forever. There's fully formed people in the museums.
The bog man, yeah.
The bog body.
Still have the hair and the skin, the faces.
The bog man. Sounds like a horror film. The bog man.
Found in 2003. Old Crotten man. Found in Offaly.
I told you I was in Croatia before and there was a priest who died in Croatia hundreds of years ago, and he's still perfectly preserved in a glass case. And they say it's because of the lack of humidity and the salt in the air and stuff like that. So it depends on the environment that the body is in.
The bog body found in Offaly, not only did he still have the skin and all that, the contents of his stomach were still there.
Oof.
From his last meal.
A hamburger.
Jesus.
Chips and all. Mars bar.
Yeah, they think he was over 2,000 years old.
And he's just chilling out.
He died before, yeah, before even Jesus and all that. And there he was, perfectly preserved. So yeah, if your remains are put in a particular environment, they'll survive. But in a coffin, no.
There's a theory as to why he was put in the bog. Apparently, there was a drought. And the biggest thing that you can give to the gods, like the biggest sacrifice that you can give to the gods, was to sacrifice a king. So they killed him and laid him into the bog and hoped that rain would come. And it fucking did. Hasn't stopped bleeding raining since.
It's because of that.
Because the bog, man. Anyway, go on. Arlen, you mad bastard.
Yes. So, giving your body to science. It can be very beneficial. We wouldn't have anywhere near the medical knowledge we have now if people hadn't used recently deceased human bodies for scientific examination and learning and so on. But as you can imagine, there's not a ready supply of bodies unless something nefarious is going on in the past anyway.
Grave diggers and all that.
Oh yeah, we're going there.
Nice point.
Yeah.
Okay.
This story is a bit about scientific research and dead bodies and so on. And also, you ever been in a classroom and there's a skeleton there? Like a replica human skeleton?
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about? Like, yeah.
In a lab coat with glasses.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you put that on it.
That skeleton, that's all based off the one skeleton. So they kind of have just this basic model
like
of human
standard skeleton that.
Which was based off a real skeleton.
Of?
An Irishman.
All around the world.
Who is the star of our story today. And that's just a little footnote at the end of his story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, William Burke, man from
Bogey.
Ernie in County Tyrone, born in 1792.
Bogey.
Came from middle-class Catholic family, joined the British Army when he was a teenager, ended up moving to Mayo, married a woman there. Didn't really like it in Mayo. No. Wasn't really accepted. The in-laws always saw him as an outsider, coming from Tyrone. There was a family dispute about how to split up the farm. He fell out with the father-in-law. So, Burke says, look, I'm out of here. Left the wife, left life in Mayo, left it all behind.
I'm leaving. I want to become a skeleton all around the world.
He was worried her family would hunt him down. So he basically went on the run and went to Scotland. He'd hide out there. He got a job working on a canal as a labourer, settled in a place near Falkirk. Seemed to be enjoying life there. Met a woman, Helen McDougall, married her. Then they ended up moving to Edinburgh for work. They were selling secondhand clothes to a lot of the poor people in the area, couldn't afford to buy new clothes. So they set up this business selling them secondhand clothes. Apparently, he wasn't always getting his clothes in, the stock in legally. He'd be out stealing clothes and so on, and then saying, oh, these were donations or whatever. But people, local area liked him. He was considered a good businessman, well liked in the area. He worked as a cobbler as well. And
in Mayo?
No, this is in Scotland. In Edinburgh now.
Aye.
Did you just stop listening?
About 5 minutes ago, yeah. But I'm
he's just waiting for the
this
skeleton
room
part.
Is too warm for me to repeat stuff.
I'm joking, I was listening.
He's going to JD Sports, nicking clothes.
No, I heard that
them.
Bit. I know, I heard that bit.
Anyway, no, he was well liked, and he was considered a man who, if you needed a helping hand, Burke was the man to go to. He had a kind heart, even though he's probably Nick and close, but he was still a good fella.
Robin Hood.
Nothing wrong with a bit of Robin. We always said that.
Yeah. And he used to do, they had the community harvest teams or something. I don't know. It was good for, they all went out together and harvested. And he joined in. Good community man, you know.
Bit of wheat.
The barley.
Bit of barley.
Doing
barley.
His bit, yeah. And then in the summer of 1827, while out doing one of these harvest runs.
It was a lovely summer that, 1827. It's a lovely summer.
Some year.
Great year.
So William Burke meets the second William of our tale, William Hare, H-A-R-E.
Oh.
Like the rabbit.
Like the rabbit.
But not a rabbit.
William Hare is from Armagh. He worked mostly as a farm labourer, but did a bit of everything. He moved to Scotland because he wanted a bit more steady employment.
Scotland
he ended
was
up
booming, was it?
Scotland seemed to be the place to be, yeah.
Secondhand clothes, come on. 1827, everyone going around in the shit
some
is good.
Some year.
He also got a job working on the canals as a labourer. He was there for about 7 years. Then he moved to Edinburgh. The Irish communities in Edinburgh were strong. If you needed a place to call home, that's where you headed to. He moved into...
It's getting warmer.
It's getting warmer.
Very warm. He moved into a... He was a lodger in a home owned by a fella called Logue and his wife.
Logue.
Logue. I don't have a first
nickname,
name.
Nickname, is it?
Oren, is that his first or a second name? Probably his second name.
Is that a nickname?
Maybe it's just his only name.
You can call me Logue.
Rogue Logue. And Logue's wife, Margaret. And when Logue died, William Hare married Margaret after Logue died and he took over his business.
Which, who married who's? Ford.
Logue married
William. William Hare, right?
William Hare.
Second William. This is, just to help, this is bad William, okay?
Ooh.
Just now, call him Willy.
Willy. No.
Hairy Willy.
No, just Willy. Just easy on Willy, fucking bad Willy.
Right, look. Willy. Bad Will.
Will.
Bad Bill.
Bad Bill.
Billy.
We call him Bill, will we?
Or Gay.
Bill married the dead man's wife.
Okay.
Who's the dead man?
The fellow who owned the house that Bill was lodging in.
Killed him. Took his...
Oh, Logue.
Logue.
Killed Logue.
No, Logue just died.
Oh, they're fucking gone mad, man. where are we now? Go to the next bit.
Logue just died. Right. William Hare is at the moving in with another...
He moves in, he rents a room in the gaff. The fellow who owns the house dies. The wife is still there. He marries the wife and says, now I'm the man of the house. Right. I'll take over the business and I'll rent out rooms to people.
Nice.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now I'm with you. So he's a landlord now.
He is.
One man's widow is another man's wife.
A hotelier of sorts. Bill Hare was not a nice man. He was aggressive. He was violent. And if someone made any joke at his expense, he'd be like, right.
That's go. It.
The punch up was on. Every single time.
I know. If
not a pleasant fella.
And back then, they went, put him up, put him up. That's so good. He was a...
Did they?
Yeah. Far, man.
That's in here too, yeah.
That's fucking mad.
And he was not at all given to helping other people. He was looking after number one. And that was it. So, William Burke, that's the kind of...
That's the
good one. That's the first one.
Community
Burke.
Community Burke.
Community Burke.
Fella.
And Bill Hare.
The Weetabix.
They meet on this harvest in 1827. Joe, as you were saying, a lovely summer.
Great summer.
Burke was there because he wanted to do it for the community.
Oh, as I said, lovely chap.
Hare had gone along just because he heard he could get a payday.
Fuck shit up and if anyone says any jokes, he's going to stick the head off.
Challenged him to a duel.
They ended up having a few pints together and they started spending a bit of time together. And... Hare, community, William.
No, right? Not Hare. Hare is bad.
Sorry.
Community, come on now, William, come on. Now it's hot, lads.
I'm confused.
Come on, will you? Keep up. Arlen's put a lot of effort into
this. Just say
now.
Bad Willy, good Willy. Bad Willy, good Willy. Bad Willy, good Willy.
Nope. Good Willy.
Because if I start saying that, we'll never get through this.
Bad Willy, good Willy.
Bad Willy or good Willy. Community Willy.
Community Bill starts feeling bad for aggro Will.
Why?
Because he's like, he has no friends. He's misunderstood.
Same name.
I'll have a pint with him. I'll put the arm around him. Yeah. He just needs someone to hang around with.
Lovely fella.
Get your hands on me.
So, then, November 1827.
Same year.
Same year, later on.
That fine summer is a distant memory.
Yeah. Moving into the autumn now.
November 29th, we're in the winter now.
Oh, fuck. Cold. Yeah. Oh, in Scotland.
November
the Highlands.
November is the month after October.
Bleak. Right. So, the two Bills, having a few pints together, in Agro Bill's house. As they're sitting there having a pint, someone runs in and says, one of the lads upstairs, the lodger, he's after dropping dead in his room. So the two lads go upstairs to investigate. They look in, they say, yes.
Very much dead.
Definitely dead. He had died of dropsy.
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 Was that when you just drop and die?
Dropped a few E. Dropsy. Did he drop E?
What's dropsy?
It sounds horrendous. It's the area under your skin fills with fluid.
Which area?
Life really used to be bleak, didn't it?
Everything would kill you.
I mean, you still get this now.
Yeah, area under your skin.
It's called edema now.
Where's the area? Or is it all your skin?
Like between your skin and your bone.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
A real 1800 death.
Yeah. Aggro Bill, he's devastated.
Why?
Oh, he's heartbroken. But not because he's worried about this poor fella who's died in his house. Because he's not going to get...
Feel Bob.
The rent.
This fella's rent is back out. So the fella owed him £4, which was big money.
Yeah,
and he was waiting on his
a month.
Yeah, he was waiting on his army pension to come through, and once that came through, he'd pay Aggro Bill. But he wasn't going to get that money now. So Aggro Bill says to Community Bill, "I'm in trouble now. I needed that money to keep things going." So Community Bill, being a kind man, says, "Anyway, I can help you. Anything we can do here to sort this out?"
And he said, "We'll head up to the post office with him and pretend he's still alive next week."
It's not a million miles.
I mean, it's not. It's like what happened in the country. Yeah.
So the fear is there. The whole business could go under now if they don't get this £4. So back then, there was a huge demand for human bodies.
Okay. Cadavers.
Lots of advances being made in medical science and medicine. Yeah. You know, just huge demand. There's all these kind of this funding going around for people who can come up with new kind of discoveries to do with human body and all this stuff. Like, it's a big thing.
Set
it's such
a
big thing.
Accounts.
Basically.
I need bodies.
It's such
help
a big thing.
Get a body.
It's such a big thing that you could donate the body of a family member or a friend to science. Well, actually, no, sorry. Now you donate them. Back then, you could sell them and you could get between £3 and £8 per body.
2 months' rent.
This fella's business is going under for £4. So,
double 2 months' rent, yeah? Like,
I can see where this is going
to go. So, the two bills decide, right? Once kind of the formalities are taken care of, as in someone's coming and look at the body and all that stuff and put them in a coffin, then we'll do our thing. So, they go in, they take the body out of the coffin and they fill the coffin with logs.
Is Community building on this?
Yeah. He's trying to help a friend.
Well, I still know.
I mean, he started at robbing clothes, you know, it's only downhill from there. Tearing the bugs off them and all.
Then this coffin gets sent off to this man's family full of logs.
Oh, that's sad. £8 though.
Well, they then take the body in the dead of night to the dark winter streets through Edinburgh.
In November.
They go to a local anatomist. They start to...
Which is? Whole,
I don't think you'd have an anatomist anymore, but it's, I guess, someone who takes the part. Yeah. Let's say that, yeah. They start up with the whole... The spiel, they're like, oh, this is... And he's like, yeah, I don't even care. You don't need to give me a story. This fella's name was Robert Knox. And he's like, yeah, I need a body because I need to do this work and that work to advance my career. You basically can't get by these days unless you've got bodies to pick apart. Not in the anatomist game, anyway. And he paid them £7. Said, I don't even want to hear where you got it. Here's £7. Thank you very much. And
I'd have said I would do it for a... And nothing less, Pat. Mm.
Yeah. As they're leaving, he says, oh, and if any other lodgers should drop dead.
Wink, wink.
You know where to bring them. So.
Little entrepreneurs.
They were going around poisoning people then.
Giving them dropsies.
So he says, listen.
Giving them stone cold stunners.
Same big fat £7 on offer.
Yeah, but they're not going to go around killing the lodgers though.
Agro bill takes the £4, covers the missing rent. And community bill gets £3. And that was triple what he was making on a weekly basis in his cobbler business.
Should I make £1?
Played in 3 weeks. 3 weeks' wage.
3 weeks' wages for one night's work.
Yeah, but just robbing a dead body.
Mm. So I'll just bring it back a bit. In 1752, there was a thing brought in called the Murder Act, because around this time, there was basically, Edinburgh was a huge hub. It was one of the leading cities in Europe.
Loads of stags.
That and anatomical studies. And there was a huge demand for dead bodies, which meant the legal supply of them wasn't meeting the demand, which, as we discussed, led to all sorts of things. So the law was that any corpses used for medical research could only be murderers, someone who died in prison, victim of suicide.
And lodgers.
No, not lodgers, but orphans.
Oh my God. Ah, Jesus.
World used to be bleak. Murderers were the preference of the doctors and the scientists because...
Because fuck them.
They'd be basically the most recently alive, usually. They'd have been killed.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Study them fuckers.
Take out their brain and stand on it.
See what's inside.
Load of goo and all. Because they're murderers.
Victims of murders, I should say. You'd only have, some years there'd only be 30 to 40 bodies.
Some years?
In the whole of, I'm not sure if that's Edinburgh or Scotland. But
legally?
Legally, yeah.
So the rest.
So lads like Robert Knox and them start, you know, there's a black market in bodies springs up fairly quickly.
Because it was slim pickings.
So this starts up. The scientists prove themselves very willing to pay people who'll just go and dig up bodies, recently buried bodies, to the point that when people are burying their loved ones, they start using large cages placed over the graves. Got a picture of one here.
Oh, wow.
You can still see these in some very old graveyards.
I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah. So they're called...
just come at them from the side.
A mort safe.
It's just for show, really. You get that up handy.
Yeah, it's just a...
looks like anyway.
You really want it.
They were built into the ground and deep into the ground. So you'd have a job of work on you.
So our family's almost anticipating people just robbing their relatives or...
It became so commonplace that if you were burying someone, you'd put...
They're like, oh, well,
the big
might as well look up where we can because someone's going to rob them.
Yeah. So grave digging became a widespread practice. And
Nice point.
Oh, the grave diggers.
Grave diggers, yeah, lovely point. Yeah. Grave robbing, I should say, not grave digging. Because grave diggers,
they were just digging.
Oh, yeah, they were just digging the graves. The yeah.
Mentioned to you, Joe, there was people coming back to life.
Yeah.
So around this time, cholera was just rife around Ireland and the UK.
What was that again?
Highly contagious illness, killed.
Was it like a flu or something to do with the mouth, was it?
It's an infection of some sort.
No, you have vomiting, diarrhea, cramps, all that kind of stuff. There's still a cholera pandemic around the world.
Is there?
Not here. But
people drop dead all the time from it, like, still.
Yeah, it's still widespread, yeah. Huge numbers of people die from cholera. But one of the things that can happen with cholera is someone can be dead, or sorry, someone can appear to be dead. They'll have all the signs of death, but they're not dead. I think they call it cholera coma. Like, they seem to be dead. And because cholera was so contagious, as soon as someone died from it, they were like, get them into a grave quickly. Don't leave that body lying around.
Being buried alive?
Yeah. Jeez. Happened all the time, apparently.
There was a paper man around my area who died. Went to the morgue and they were putting him into the freezer and he woke up.
Really?
Yeah. And then he came and then he was going around giving out newspapers and stuff again. Then he died the next year. Came back from the dead. Fucking astonishing.
Was he actually in the news, dead though?
He was dead. They were putting him in the morgue, like they were putting him in the freezer. And he woke up on in the freezer.
Banging?
Like in you know, the shelf.
Before he went in or before was he went in there banging?
Before he went in.
Jesus.
Is he not probably just in a coma?
No, his heart, his heart was stopped and everything, and there was, yeah, fucking weird. If anyone from the inner city knows what I'm talking about, I don't have a lot of information on that, and I would love to know more information. I don't know if there's news articles or anything like that, but I remember it happened, and I remember everyone was talking about it. It was an old man, yeah, and then he died shortly after.
Someone's granddad?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Paper man.
My great-granddad was in the Civil War, or else the War of Independence? And he was blown up in a bomb. And the family story goes, anyway, they were in the process of like taking him away and putting him in a body bag when he came to. And he's like, what are you doing?
No way. This thing no is. Way.
So the grave diggers. So they're burying the cholera victims quickly. And the lads are around the corner, do a bit of grave robbing. And they're showing up. And they're very often finding people who probably have then died while being 6 feet under in the time it takes. Like, I presume they wait a day or two, I don't know. And they're finding people looking in all sorts of distressed states, like, and the roof of the coffin is all scratched because they've been trying to get out. It was a grim business to be in back in those days.
The inside of the coffins were being scratched.
The person has the cholera coma. Ugh. And they're buried too quickly. They're not checked out properly.
That is fucking hell. Ugh.
Remember we talked about this before, the little devices they came up with to avoid this happening?
Ringing a bell.
So this became popular as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Along with the cages. You'd have a little bell and the string would be down in the coffin.
We wouldn't even see the string. It'd be pitch black.
That's true.
And there could have been a string there the whole time that could have saved you. And you know where it was. Dark.
Very dark. You wouldn't see a thing.
Oh, but dark. Cause
it was, yeah.
Ah, and dark. Oh, and in.
I'm having a panic attack. Okay, I'm all right now.
That was a quick panic attack.
That's how they come and wait.
It's like that. And then it's over.
Yeah. Because I was just thinking, I'm going to be in a coffin. Oh, stop. Go on. Keep going.
What colour coffin do you want?
Silver.
I want one of them big Elvis ones. Big white one. Gold fucking plates on it. No?
On the back of a pickup truck?
Yeah.
Nice. On the back of a 42A. 17A.
What one do you want? This is brown.
I'll probably get cremated.
Standardly. Would you?
Yeah, I think
just
so.
In case you wake up.
If you woke up in there. It would not be nice. It would not be nice.
Anyway.
Go on. Tell us more about Good Willy and Bad Willy. Because I'm getting freaked out here by talking about death.
So after they do their first job, Good Bill and Bad Bill.
That was Willy.
Bill.
Yeah.
Community Bill. He's in his cobbler's working away. And Agro Bill.
Comes in.
I'm running down the street, all panicked. He says, it's happened again. Businesses in dire straits here. There was a man called Joseph staying there. And Agro Bill said he's got a high fever. He's talking in tongues. He's got some serious infection going on here. If he dies on the premises and they hear about it, they're going to come and shut me down.
Oi.
Quarantine the whole place.
Oh, yeah, because the cholera. Right. Yeah. But plagues all over the shop.
Exactly. Yeah. You'd shut the whole place down. So, Agro Bill says to Community Bill, I need your help. you gotta help me save the business. He says, of course, I'm a nice guy. The plan that Agrawil proposes is we should kill him and then we take the body off to our friend Robert Knox, and one level it'll just remove all trace of what we did, and also we'll probably get paid. Community Bill, he's happy enough to go along with this.
I don't think Community Bill should be called Community Bill anymore.
It should be called Bold Bill.
Yeah.
Yep. So
Easily Led Bill.
Or Ah Bill.
They headed over and they killed him.
How?
They smothered him. I was going to skip.
So
I have more details.
They're both Bold Bill now.
Yeah, and they got paid a tenner for this.
Some bob.
Why? Was his body worth more? Fat fella?
Don't know. Well, it was...
Was he fat? How do we know?
He had died so recently.
Yeah, more.
The body was very fresh, which was, remember saying, it was very hard to find recently.
Yeah, you can't get fresh bodies these days.
£5 each.
A few weeks later, there's an English fella staying over with Agro Bill.
Oh, two Irish fellas going to kill an English. It's not going to end well, lads.
He...
Is that how
gets
it all
sick
started?
With jaundice.
Because of that?
Hair again, worried. Oh, someone here dies with jaundice. This is going to be a whole big thing. So he goes over to Community Bill and says, look, it's happening again. Okay. Back they go. And
get me the pillow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Did he suffocate him as well?
I don't have the detail on that.
Okay, right.
They did kill him anyway.
Killed him and the same night delivered him to Robert Knox.
Tenner.
Another tenner.
Efficient.
Mm. So at this stage, Community Bill has made a year's salary off these three jobs. Oh no, wait, was it a week?
Yeah, it was a week.
3 months salary.
Yeah.
So he's probably made £11 at this stage. A few weeks later, a wealthy pensioner is staying at this place.
Nice.
He's just doing good business, this lodgings.
A lot of vacancies.
She was in Edinburgh to sell salt.
Salt?
There you go.
Scarce, was it?
And we talked recently about jobs that don't exist anymore.
Selling salt.
Independent salt salesman is probably one.
Yeah. I'd buy it.
Love a bit of salt.
This one, any pretense of just doing things to help a friend is gone at this stage, because Agro Bill approaches Community Bill and says, she's just loaded. He's like, yeah, we'll kill her too.
And do what? Like, take all our salt?
They're serial killers now.
At this stage, yeah, they would be. They just got her very drunk and then killed her. They decided to do it differently this time.
Push that down.
So they're killing people that have no illness now. Just killing people for money.
Yeah. This wealthy pensioner, this is the one where they're like, we don't even need an excuse anymore. We're just going to start doing this to make money. So they kill her. And a few days later, another woman shows up. Again, they just decide, we'll kill her too. Sell her to Knox.
Crazy. Like, I forgot there for a second that this is a true story. Like, this actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
They get their wives involved. There's so much work going on, they need help. So they get their wives involved.
Kill them too?
No, the wives fell out with each other over the fees. They said, we're doing more work, so we should get more money. And they said, no, we're doing more work, we should get more money. Starts getting complicated. People are not getting along with each other. The wives then separately plan to kill each other.
For the tenner.
And get the money for the body. Took to this very quickly, it seems. And while this little side plot is going on, our two bills say, there's a lot of people dying in this building, isn't there? Like, someone's going to start asking questions. We should probably stop killing people who come here to stay for the night. So they decide they will go after the homeless people of Edinburgh. That's their next plan. There was an Irishman, James Wilson, living rough in the city. And they killed him, brought him over to man Robert Knox. And the following day, he has this corpse there for all his students to come over and do their anatomy examination and so on. And the students recognize him and go, oh, that's Daft Jamie. Everyone knows him from around town. Knox, worried he's about to be rumbled, someone's going to start asking questions, he says, no, it's not. And the first thing he has them do is dissect his head.
Ah, yeah, of course. Jesus
Christ. So nobody can recognize him.
Jesus. Would not have enough bodies by now. Probably a bit too much. Too much bodies there. He's like, he probably has enough bodies. He doesn't need any more bodies.
He's going through them quickly. Our man, Robert Knox, his career's flying at this stage, I'd say.
Booming.
Yeah. Now is where the wheels start to come off of them. So Margaret Darty, an Irish woman, she meets Community Bill, and he tells her, oh, my mother was a Darty as well, and all this. Come back to the house and I'll show you pictures or something. He lures her back and they kill her, obviously. But he also, while out drinking with her, he got too drunk and he falls asleep beside her after he's killed her in the house, the lodgings.
Trying to kill her and then end up falling asleep with her.
He does kill her, but he falls asleep beside her after he's killed her before he has a chance to move. He says, I'll do it in the morning.
Take a break, yeah.
And but someone who had been staying there previously, just by coincidence, they come back over to the house the next morning because they had left something behind. And they walk in and see what's happened. They run and tell the police. By the time they're arrested, the police show up and arrest them. They'd killed 16 people in just a few months.
Wow. A few quid. Doing all right for themselves.
Robert Knox got away with it completely because he was from the upper classes. So they just pretend that he wasn't involved. Community Bill and Agro Bill blamed each other when they went to trial. Yeah, the wives were both released, but this became a huge story in Edinburgh. And when the wives were released, they couldn't go anywhere in the town because they'd be attacked. People were so outraged by this. Burke, who was Community Bill, he was one found with the body, so he took the brunt of the blame. Agro Bill, he just did a few years in prison, I think, and he got let go.
Jesus.
But he was also attacked by a mob while trying to get out of Scotland.
I'd say he would have been worth a few quid if you killed him, brought him to your man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The police, 100 police had to protect him from a crowd. He ran to this house where he tried to hide out. And like the crowd that followed him, 100 police were needed to push them back because people just wanted to rip him limb from limb. And he, the Scottish police just brought him to the English border and just pushed him across and said, just go on. We don't want to deal with you anymore. Off you go. He was never heard from again. So he did a few years in prison. They walked him to the English border and said, off you go. Now, Community Bill, he was considered the man behind the whole thing, even though.
Wasn't though, was it?
No, he went along with it pretty happily.
Still did it.
So he's sentenced to death. And January 29th, 1829, a crowd of 25,000 people gathers to watch his execution.
Wow.
Yeah. They built scaffolds. People were charged between 5 and 20 shillings to use these. Like, people would privately build a scaffold in the area. And they'd charge people to get a better view. You could, there were people, vendors set up selling food and drink at this thing.
Food trucks.
It was like a concert, yeah, a festival or something. Food truck. Jeez. Just to watch this one man be hanged. Then he dies, and because he was a murderer, under the law that I mentioned earlier, his body was legally able to be used by science. So, a couple of days later, his corpse was publicly dissected in the Edinburgh University's Anatomy Theatre.
He wouldn't have liked that.
Probably not, no. A riot broke out in the crowd because there were so many people trying to get in to watch his body be dissected.
Disgusting.
Yeah. It lasted 2 hours. Professor Monroe from the university dipped his quill pen into Burke's blood. And then he wrote, this is written with the blood of William Burke, who was hanged at Edinburgh. The blood was taken from his head. The world has changed a lot, really.
Yeah.
don't
write with quills anymore.
That's true. Yeah. So then his skeleton was given to the Anatomical Museum of the Edinburgh Medical School.
I forgot about that part.
Where it stays today. The skeleton was so well preserved, I'm guessing because it was such a high profile situation. Like most of the people who are being dissected or whatever, like they're, I don't know, are they taking great care of them? Anyway, for some reason, his skeleton was really well preserved throughout all of this. And scientific, like apparatus companies, people who build all these things for doctors and universities and so on, they still use William Burke's skeleton as that model.
Jeez, I did forget about the skeleton. We were talking about this.
Yeah, yeah. The skeleton in all those classrooms all around the world is this fella, William Burke.
It's good Willie.
Who was killing people to sell their bodies in Edinburgh.
I've seen loads of them.
There you go.
Seen Willie all over the shop. I always thought it was very small.
Next time I see one of them, I'll be annoyed.
For fuck's sake, Willie, just kill
out all that. Get that out of the fucking classroom. Like, do you know what he did? Do you know what that skeleton did? Kill people. Money. I feel like there's a film in that.
I feel like that's a film. It has to be there.
Or a short story.
Like, Sleepy Hollow.
Are You Afraid of the Dark or something? Do you know them when you were a kid, you watched that Around the Fire thing?
Yeah.
They're telling these stories and it goes back to the fucking fire. Like Podge and Roger or something.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be told well in that scenario.
Yeah. Or the Stoller podcast.
Yeah. So we took it on you, Podge and Roger. Sorry about that. Scared at bedtime. See you later.
Nice one, Arden. Thanks for that.
That was pretty good now.
Yes. Thank you, Arden.
From the what podcast?
We the Irish. Check it out. This story is in there and many more.
We the Irish.
I think it's well over 100. Close to 200.
episodes.
Yeah, great stuff.
Is that story in it?
Yep.
Skip that one because this one's.
Skip that one. Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Plenty of other ones you can listen to. Yeah. Just, this one's better.
I was away in Portugal. That was a bit of crack.
Here we go. A
little bit of...
In Albufeira.
Albufeira. On the second day, we went to a water park. And there's queues for everything, as you know. Like in water parks, it usually is. So we stood in the water, the queue for the lazy river. We were going around the lazy river. And Marta said that she was leaving her bag in the lockers. I'd wait with the kids in the queue. She's going to leave the bag. Then she came back without a bag. Thought it was in the lockers. We went around the lazy river a couple of times, got out, went to the bag. I didn't have my card with me or anything like that. We went to the bag and then we went for something to eat, took the bag, ordered the food. She went to look for our purse in the bag and she wasn't gone. When she left it, somebody went through the bag and took the purse with the money and the card in it. And then I was like, fuck's sake. But we were there anyway, so I was trying to pay with my phone, but he didn't accept Google Pay. So we were walking around the park with no money, parching. We ordered like two ice creams and two drinks. Yes. And the kids had the ice creams in their hand. They were fucking delighted. The 3-year-old and a 6-year-old were bleeding ice cream. Happy bleeding days. And then we have to turn around and say, oh, sorry, you have to give that back now. Like they're like, what? Why?
Things like, ripping.
Mammy and daddy have no money. We're broke. And then they were screaming, crying. So then fair play to them in the park. They said, oh, it's all right. It's okay. They can have it. They can have it. So we had to spend the rest of the fucking day with no money. And then when we got back to the hotel, I couldn't find my card. This was back in the... It's not even a hotel. Where we were staying was a resort that had chalets. It was like a 4-star resort. Really nice resort. 15 pools. But they had another resort attached to this resort. Same company. And that was only 2 stars. And we were staying in the 2-star chalet resort. We were like, we'll stay at the shit resort and just spend our time in the nice one. But there was like fucking cockroaches everywhere. Jesus. And like the shower head just kept sliding down the pole. And it was not nice. There was like a hole in the shower pipe. So the water just like sprayed out the side. It was not.
Like when they say 2 stars, like it really does be, doesn't it? Like it's 2 stars for a reason.
I don't even know how it gets 2 stars. Whoever's reviewing it should have been.
If there's cockroaches, it's no stars.
Surely.
Or if there's a hole in the shower head, it's no stars.
Shut it down. That's close a safety
it.
Concern.
What's it even there for, upsetting the 4 stars? That's right next to it. Did you not get the purse back?
We got a call from the water park 3 days later saying that he found a purse and we went to collect it, but the money was gone out of it. But Moira had already cancelled that card anyway. So we
cash
were going.
Like, was gone.
The cash was gone from the purse.
Is that a lot?
Not really, no.
A couple of hundred,
yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's not like life-changing. It didn't ruin the holiday. But when we got home, my card was gone. And we were looking around for that for a day. And then it showed up the next day. But then Marta got violently sick. She got food poisoning.
Oh, Jesus.
On like the third Christ. Day. The fourth day then, I thought she was over it. So we went to play mini golf at 1 o'clock in the day in like 32 degree heat. And we were on like hole 6. The kids were taking a long time, to be fair. On like hole 6. And Maura's like, I'm just going to go to the toilet or I'm going to sit down for a little while. And then she went, she sat down 3 holes in. I was like, where the fuck has she gone? And I had to take the kids off the course and go find where she was. She was passed out in the toilets. She was like on the floor, passed out, like because of the food poisoning / heat stroke. So we had to wake her up and get her out and fucking rehydrate her, and she had to go back to bed the next day. Then she was
physically passed out.
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah, she's on the bleeding ground. The next day, then I got food poisoning. Marta was grand, and I got food poisoning coming out of both ends down in Conway. It was bleeding awful. You know when there's nothing in you and you're just going, just, and it hurts.
Just getting sick like acid.
Yeah, it's like
boil.
What is that? I feel like a lizard or something. Just going. It was not nice. Not nice at all. Do you know the people that work in these resorts?
Yeah. Well, not personally, but
I feel like they hate the people that go to the resorts.
Oh, yeah, of course. Hate them.
You can feel it off them. It was a parrot show on the first day that we got there.
Well, like a good parrot show.
A parrot show?
A parrot show.
Did that tweet get interesting?
You have my attention.
That's what got you.
Not that he was violently getting sick out about ends.
That's...
Didn't raise any concern. Just the parrots.
He's fine now.
Does it peak your Schroeden frowd?
No, I've revelled in your misery a lot lately. I thought I'd just sit this one out.
There's a lot in this one. This holiday was just fucking...
Sounds like it's on the upswing here with the parrot show.
Well, that's how it started. That was the peak.
Did the parrots attack anyone? Won.
No, they didn't. But they were so scrawny and fucking like the feathers were just like falling off them. The parrots were only short of coughing. Like, I just felt so...
That's usually a sign of parrots being stressed. Yeah. They pick their own feathers off like and don't eat. So.
Yeah, it looked like a dog with mange and wings, like a mangy parrot.
Kill me.
Kill me now. Twist me. Yeah, it was a weak parrot show. There was a magician, and I swear to God, he say to you, like, imagine a magician. What you're thinking of is probably him.
The masked magician.
Like, well,
with
with
the white face paint, black on it.
But that was, like, it's...
Sky one.
He was a Portuguese fella, like, with curly hair. He wasn't speaking because he probably couldn't speak English. He didn't have a moustache, but it would have worked if he had a moustache. He probably did back in the day. He's old. So he probably started about 20 years ago, but he's still doing the same tricks. It's like classic money behind your ear.
Ping pong ball in the cup.
There was a cup one, right? He was pulling pigeons out of... He was pulling mangy parrots out of his arms.
No, was he?
How much was he charging for this?
This was free. This was part of the hotel entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, right. This sounds like an amazing hotel. The staff.
Was this in the 4-star?
This was in the 4-star. So this is part.
You were in the 2 and you just went to the 4 for the whole time.
Yeah. It's all attached, like, you know what I mean? It's a big resort. It's kind of like a commune. Except we were in the shittest part of the commune. So.
I love all this money you're making on spice bags and crypto.
Gone down.
You're wasting it on
all the
substandard parrot shells.
So substandard.
I think that's why you make your money. It's for moments like that.
We went on a catamaran.
What's that?
It's a boat that has a net on it.
But it's a boat with several holes.
What's the net for? So you can get in the net.
Like a hammock.
Okay. So you got on a boat with a net.
You've come in with new hair too as well.
Sam, really? What do you think of mine?
I will come back to them.
No, talk about the hair.
I'll come back to that. It was a 6-hour tour with two kids, which is probably not a great idea. And it goes along the coast, which can get very boring because the coast is just repetitive. It's just the coast. The same as any other coast.
Lots of coast.
It has cliffs that some people find attractive. There's a picture that you'd probably recognise on Instagram of one of the caves that has like a circle in the roof and the sun shines through and it's beautiful, it's romantic, it's gorgeous, lovely. But when you get there, you're on a massive catamaran with about 120 people on it, and there's about 9 other catamarans all trying to get into this cave where there's a small little beach where there's hundreds of people on that, and then there's kayaks all around you, and then private boats trying to get into it. It's fucking chaos. And 3 days after we'd done that, they brought in a law in Portugal that limited the amount of tours that goes into that cave because it's so crazy.
How do you keep ending up these places? Nobody else has the strike rate that you do for bad holidays.
You sit out in the sun, go swimming, and go for food and drinks that night.
You just can't do that, can you?
I just think it's overrated. I just think everything is over. Everything's shit. That's the problem. Yeah, it's not my bad luck. It's that everything is shit. You know what I mean?
Everything.
Everything is shit.
What would in general, like everything in the world.
I think it's... I think life is overrated. I think there's like the world, the earth, the beauty
life
of the earth.
Life is very basic.
Yeah. That's why we've invented video games. Far more entertaining than real life. If real life was exciting, people would do that more. But they don't. They want to escape real life.
You've just been to a parrot show.
Obituary.
And you're telling us there's not enough in life. Life is too dull. Man's at parrot shows and he's not happy.
it's just so underwhelming. Everything is so underwhelming. It's that dark.
Pretty, yeah. Very, actually.
Very, very underwhelming.
You find that in your life where you're just like, I love doing that. That's great. I'm after being fulfilled there.
No. I feel relief. Anytime I do something that is supposed to give you joy, doesn't give me enough joy. And then after it's over, I'm just kind of relieved that it's over. I feel like when I'm at the end of me, I feel like when I'm 90 and I'm about to die and my life flashes before my eyes, I'm just going to go, wasn't that great? Take me now.
That's pretty dark.
Is it?
That's grim.
That's grim.
That's really.
I'm just going to go, meh.
When you set up yourself. Spice bike truck.
Yeah.
Did you not say, Jesus, yeah, have a bit of that.
You've had some great moments. You've had some great privileges.
When you played Vicar Street twice, yeah. Where you're not like, Jesus, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. Lovely.
When I'd done a first, I was like, wow. When I'd done a second, I was like, I already did that.
No, but the first time where you're like, afterwards, where you're just like, shy.
I wasn't all that good. No, I wasn't like, I'll tell you what. I thought the backstage was underwhelming. I thought that would have been like exciting. I thought it would have been like, oh, rockstar lifestyle, cool, performing.
It depends on the person.
Well, you were so
it depends on the people performing. Whether it's
they were your family and friends, Joe. There's not a whole lot we can do to help.
No, I'm not even talking about after the show. I'm talking about just like being backstage. I always thought like, oh, that would be so fucking cool.
Great
just
for
like,
accent.
You wanted more animals. Rock and roll beforehand.
Yeah, I want to throw tellies out.
Rather than me and him arguing over that we dressed the same.
Here. You and Owen, we're not the Motley Crew, all right? Okay.
Yeah, I just feel like everything that you can think of, that maybe I'm just a pessimist, but everything that you can think of that's sort of positive, it's just sort of underwhelming. Because even that boat trip, they take it to a gorgeous little beach. Now I'm gonna sell you this. I could sell you a great time, but the reality is never the same. Even at the cave, when people were coming out, I was saying, "Is it any good?" And they were like,
and they were just shouting at you in German.
But they were looking at me and just going, meh, it's a fucking cave. Like,
well, like that's, you're going into it expecting or you're hoping for underwhelming.
No, I want to be like, wow, wow. But as soon as you approach, you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Your whole mindset is off here. Your whole mindset is off. Maybe. You're shouting at people from catamaran to catamaran. You're shouting across, isn't any good.
But they're saying no. They're also underwhelmed. And everyone is. And you're all afraid to admit it. They're all afraid to admit it, but it's very shy.
You got to try and find the joy in the little moments, Joe.
And you see it on Instagram all the time. You see people bleeding, posing in gorgeous places, and you know the reality of it is not anything.
They're just waiting for that photo.
That's all it is.
They just want that fucking snap.
It's not real. It's not real.
Is the sharks there? Did you see any?
No, I didn't, know.
Was Colin Meaney there?
I've done jet skiing as well for the first time. Do you ever do jet skiing?
I don't want to hear that.
Wouldn't be into that.
It's painful.
You don't want to hear that?
No matter how exciting it might be, he's going to make it sound like the worst thing he ever did.
Was it the worst thing he ever did? Was it shy?
It wasn't shy. It was fun at first.
At first.
He's only saying that so
the parrot show was fun at first.
Do you ever hold a heavy bag of shopping for a long time?
Yeah, and you get that ring, like kind of...
Your fingers like get arthritis almost.
Yeah.
And you have to stretch it out. That's what it's like holding on to the jet ski, the handles.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
I nearly died on one of them.
Fuck off.
Well, when I say nearly died, I didn't die. Did you nearly die if you didn't die?
What happened to you?
I was on a jet ski in Tenerife like a couple of years ago with Amy. And I was driving and I was on the back.
She was driving and I was on.
Because I never got on one and she was like, I was on one loads of times. I was like, this looks fucking ridiculous. Like, so it's on the back, she's driving it. And there's like, you know the way you go out on a boat and you go to the jet skis in the middle? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you did that way, but we were on this boat with like just a load of lads, me and Amy, and they were all on a Stags. And I was on the jet ski with her and they were all laughing. What, fuck off, mate. You can't. And we went, she was going really fast, like, and we heard a wave and the whole thing like just went up in the air. Like we done a big tumble. Like, we obviously had life jackets on and went under the water. But, like, I felt like I was going under for ages. And then I just, like, the life jacket just brought us back up. But it was going back up for ages, like.
Jesus. You came off the jet ski, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But, like, you know the way you've got, like, this, like, like rope attached to your hand that, like, did you have that? Where, like, it's like the key off it. Like, if it comes off, if you move your hand a certain way, the thing just stops.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that came off. So it just stopped. But, like, I was thinking, like, imagine you didn't have that and it was just going and going. And you came off it and the propeller off that just, like, cut your head off or something.
Yeah. Final destination. Which could happen. Style. Yeah.
Not a big fan of jet skis. I wouldn't go on one again.
Would you not? But you know what? I got a big surprise for Marla.
She listens to the podcast.
And she, well, the surprise, I got her a surprise yesterday.
She knows that she got the surprise then?
Yeah.
Right.
And this time the surprise was for me, for my joy. I got a little puppy.
Oh, did you? I'm getting a new dog as well.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
Another one?
Yeah. You go ahead.
I just, that I was just trying
is
to...
Is one of them dogs you wanted?
Yeah.
What was it called again?
Border Terrier.
The Stray Dogs.
The Stray Dogs, yeah. last night was the
I feel like they're always close to a bin.
No.
I always see them at bins.
The Border Terrier?
Yeah.
No.
Am I right? A bin dog. A little black bin dog.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you in this one. Yeah, go on. Why not?
Yeah, a little dirty dog.
A dirty, scruffy dog.
It is scruffy. Scruffy would be a nice name for him, actually. I need a name for him. I'm looking for a name.
Dirty, scruffy dog.
Dirty, scruffy bastard.
I know. All dogs are nice. But except that one. Money messing.
This is a surprise for Maura that she does not want. She doesn't want a dog.
She has a surprise. You gave it to her. You have the dog. You got
right
it.
Now. It's in the gaff. Right now, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
didn't want a dog?
No.
Yeah.
Surprise.
And what was her reaction?
What the fuck, Joe?
Do the kids like it?
Love it, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. It's great.
What's the dog's name?
I don't have one.
Oh?
Yeah.
Can we pick? Can the listeners pick?
Listeners can pick, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
All right, here we go.
Absolutely. Email in your name for the dog that's a little shaggy border terrier to stala@goloudnow.com. Love to hear your suggestions before we christen them.
Getting chipped.
It's chipped and has... Yeah.
Is it a boy or girl?
Boy, yeah. Oh, it's a boy, yeah. Yeah, I should say that.
It's a boy, yeah.
Yeah.
You get one as well.
Where are you getting a little shaggy, dirty one?
Amy's dad's dog is having pups.
What kind of dog is it?
Chihuahua. Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Di-di-di-di-di. Chihuahua. Like Paris Hilton going around. Amyville. Gucci bag on.
I was imagining you walking down the road with your pug and your Chihuahua.
That's class. That's a good mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's Frank going to feel about this?
It's hard to introduce a dog to another dog.
It's very hard.
I feel like I just have to just try it out. If it doesn't work, give it back to our dad, like, and let him have it, because I have a feeling that he won't take well to that at all.
Amy's dad has a Chihuahua.
Two of them.
Can I ask you from one dog owner to another?
Absolutely, you can. Of course you can.
So I kind of jumped into this decision much to Maura's disappointment.
I won't know too much about puppies, though. Go ahead.
What about, like, the vet? Do you release... So Maura done some research last night after I brought the dog home and was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, he's here now and he's there, so she's has no choice but to... So she's all about trying to do the best thing now. We're having someone coming out on Friday as well to train it. Can't be arsed doing that shit myself. It's not fun.
Off to a flying start here.
Well, we don't know how to do it either, like, you know.
What do you want to know?
I find I'm going to have to, like, take 2 weeks off and just fucking, like, that saying, set an alarm every hour to bring him outside for a piss and everything. I'm like, who has time for that shit?
It's a big commitment.
It's a big commitment for the first year.
Fuck. I didn't realise that. Sorry, Maura.
just give us a quick outro.
Thanks for listening.
Well, you asked for a quick outro. You got a quick outro.
All right. Thank you.